Shall we pray? O God of grace and mercy, we beseech you this morning to hear our prayer. We know you do, and we know that you see us through the blood without a trace of sin whatsoever. Because of grace, we realize that. Now we would ask for the further grace, Lord, which we believe we are entitled to, which is not something that just comes because of who you are and what we are, but it is there because of that. And we ask, Lord, that you help us in the study of your word, that we may know that word, Lord, in such a way that the life can be released from it in and through us. We might be those epistles, Lord, which are read and known to men. And though they would reject us, we would be pleasing to you, Lord. That is what we desire. Help us and give us strength. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we are into number 13, I believe, of Satan's Eden. And we should be able to start reading again this morning on page 6. But it is a good thing to recap what we have been studying. And to do so, we recall that Brother Branham took Satan's Eden from Genesis 3:1-7, wherein Satan, using an intelligent animal called the beast or the serpent, deceived Eve into believing or putting her faith into a lie. Because that's what faith is. It's believing. Whether you believe a lie or believe the truth, it is something you cannot prove. But it is what you put store and stock in. And Satan actually, through this intelligent animal. Now, remember at the end time, the Antichrist is a beast. He becomes an intelligent animal. Remember under Nebuchadnezzar's time, he was given the heart of a beast. Of course, that degraded him to the place where he was using his physical body like an animal was using it. But what I'm getting the picture here is that you must remember what happened in the Garden of Eden repeats, or what happens in Genesis repeats in Revelation, the end time, and actually what happened in Eden, such as the woman naked is naked at the end time. The beast, intelligent, is here at the end time. So we see Satan was using an intelligent animal to deceive Eve into believing or putting her faith into a lie, which today is the lie. This is what happens at the end time. The intelligent animal, worshiping the creature more than the Creator, using the animal, believing a lie. The immediate result was that both Eve and Adam's eyes were opened to a situation that existed, but of which they were unaware. That is their nakedness. The ultimate situation, death, also was now in progress, but it would be some time before it was finalized. And we see Adam died just short of 1,000 years. Now, this was the beginning of God's kingdom on earth, and it was polluted. Its end is Revelation 3. Wretched, miserable, blind, and naked, and does not know it. Yet, it says, we are rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. The church at the end time, as at the first, is unaware of conditions that exist, and denies them because, like Eve, she is blind to them. Eve was blind to her nakedness. She had a veil on, which was holy. The holy veil is off, and now she's blind to her nakedness, thinking all the time the holy veil is upon her. Like that nuptial tent, even the Jews understood from the word of God that came down, getting them ready to go into their millennium, so-called, which is a type. Because as it was a place of sanctification, so our millennium is a type of sanctification also. So I hope you're following all this. It was the beast that lied and blinded Eve in the Garden of Eden. Today it is the beast doing the same thing. The church is blind and naked and does not know it. My question now is, who is telling the church she is rich and increased in goods and lacking nothing, when God says the opposite? Who is inspiring the church? Who is giving her the revelation? Now, brother, sister, you've got to come to that this morning and see what we're talking about. Because it is a very difficult thing for anybody to really believe in this enlightened hour that people will worship Satan. So, well, that just can't be so. Put it this way. It's for somebody else. And then they begin to contrive who it is for and under what conditions. And when they do, they absolve themselves and become righteous in their own eyes. Well, that's satanic. Do you think that he thought he was at fault and a sinner when he said, I'll exalt myself above the Most High God? Oh, you have to be ridiculous. This person was religious. He was the son of the morning. A twin. In the concept of the parallelism of Scripture, he was a twin to Jesus. When Jesus assumed the role of Michael, Satan was right there. When Jesus was a cherubim that covered, so was Satan. When Jesus was in the Garden of Eden, so was Satan. Who is telling the church she is rich and increased in goods and lack nothing when God says she's wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked? This is not difficult to ascertain because we have the answer in Genesis 4, 1-7. Now let's read it with understanding. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Boy, she was a smart cookie. How stupid can you get? And again, she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question. Who offered to God first, and who worshiped God first? Who won the race in getting there with the show off? Cain or Abel? Cain. Cain. So who's going to be the prime mover of religion and worship? Oh, come on. You're not stupid. I'm not stupid. Not when you got the mind of Christ. And you see this sermon, as Brother Branham said, through the eyes of God. And Abel, he also dragged along. And he brought the first things of the fat thereof. He brought something that was entirely apart from him and grew by itself, and he took it. That types Christ of another race, though, identified with us. Because, believe me, his flesh was not the flesh of the hour. It was from a created sperm and egg and nourished by the elements. Which elements would have nothing to do except nourishment to the cells, bringing forth the blood of God. And Christ comes straggling in, offered after the great offerings of the hour. And they were offering everything to God at the time of the Passover. And they took full credit for it. And they were sure they were worshiping God. And Abel's lineage, because though he is not in the lineage, he's the first. He's there by blood. Seth was next to Adam. He comes struggling in, giving his blood. But unto Cain and to his offering, God did not have respect. So that lets you know that end time religion and worship unto God has its roots in the ostentatious approach unto God, and they're rejected. You follow? You've got to follow. Because it's the same system from Cain on down. And the Vatican is Vati Cain, which is the house of Cain. And they took it, as we'll see, from Caesar, who took it from the Babylonians. Actually, the Babylonian religion, because Babylon had expired by then. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. Shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and thou and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Which in the Septuagint I like, because the great Greeks, great Hebrew students under Alexander took the Hebrew to the Greek, which would be far better and purer than our hour, and said, thou hast offered well, but if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? So here was somebody approaching unto God, forcing his way, pushing aside the other, going right there, rejected of God. Now you do what you want about it, but Genesis holds good right through the book of Revelation. Alright, watch what happens. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and he slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth, received thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Now you notice right here, here is a double negative, because already the earth was cursed because of what Adam did, which was to commit treason against the race of God, sell every son into bondage and captivity. Now you'll notice it's going to even be more so. See? The earth will not yield its strength. In other words, the earth itself now will start to be corrupted. So the minerals and the things are not in the soil even. Then if it started way back there because of this religion, what's it going to be at the time when there is a conspiracy which is enjoined upon the people by Satan, and they join in and they actually worship Satan? Cain said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you drove me from the face of the earth. I'm going to be a fugitive, and so on and so on. Now, notice verse 16, Cain went from the presence of the Lord, went to the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built a city, called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Now you notice right here, there is a city involved. Who is doing the building? Cain, the serpent seed. And there is a city involved at the end time, as we'll see in Daniel and Revelation, where Satan has his headquarters. The bride also is looking for a city which she doesn't build. Like the sacrifice, she has no part in it, she merely accepts it, identifying her life with the life of God. And in so doing, she identifies herself with the building of the city, and the builder of the city, whose maker and author is God, New Jerusalem, which comes down upon the earth. Now you'll notice in here that the man has children, and those children become polygamous. And you notice they are also great workers in brass. They become industrialized people. And you notice at the end time, all industry is all taken over by the devil and his power to bring and to force a worship upon the people. What's in Genesis must happen in the book of Revelation, or the Bible is a lie. Genesis is the seed book. Revelation is the harvest book. Now, you notice in Genesis 4, 25, 26, And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. You'll notice in there she recognizes the two seeds. And to Seth and him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Men began to call upon the name of the Lord, and they began to use the name of God. In other words, they began to identify themselves as the children of God, or the children of light, which indeed they were. Even though the conditions which were in Eden and the conditions of their bodies had changed, they were nonetheless by virtue children of God. For you'll notice in here, this is the book of the generations of Adam. And the day God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created them and blessed them and called their name Adam, in the day that they were created. Therefore they would beget sons and daughters unto God, exactly as the scripture says. Now, let's go back to Genesis 3 and 20, and you will notice something here that you must keep in mind. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living, but he was not the father of all living. And even science today has proven it. But they will tell you there were many women who were mothers. But evidently they and all their progeny died of hogwash, and I could call it something else, but I'm too polite. Though I'm in the mood for it in a certain way. There is only one mother of all, that is Eve, and there are two fathers of all. And their headship lies in the spiritual, which as Adam came from God, so Satan used an intelligent beast to bring forth his harum-scarum diabolical kids. Now, let's go to Revelation, the 13th chapter, where we begin to see the culmination of the two races and the worship and that which is contingent to it. And it says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, upon his heads a name of blasphemy. I'll let you know that something is coming up from the midst of the people. This is something that the people are perpetrating, but remember, they have something that is telling them and something that is guiding them. There is something in a spiritual realm that is doing this, but it's coming from the people. Just like as it was in the days of Nimrod, the days of the Tower of Babel, when they said, let us be set up a religion. Let us set up a unified religion. They didn't build a tower under the heavens. My goodness me. If they knew what the flood had done, and they knew it, they knew they couldn't build a tower that high. It was unto the heavens. It was the signs of the zodiac, the Bible written in the heaven. They erected a needle-like obelisk, which would be a minaret or a tower, something like your Muslims and those bunch of people got. Heathens what they are. And we'll talk about that too, maybe, if we get to it this morning. And there's 11 acres at least, and all the signs of the zodiac were there, the Bible in the heavens. They put it into a form of stone before they put it into the pyramids. And all of the signs and the intermediate signs were there, spelling out the complete Bible, the story of redemption. And God confused their tongues. So each one took away from that a remnant of the true religion, and it became defiled. We'll talk about that when we talk about Judaic Christianity. We're going to get to it. All right. The beast and the And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet like the feet of a bear, mouth the lion. The dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. Doesn't say it was. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. They worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And it is given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power given him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth to blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. It's given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. Power is given unto him over all kindred, tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, slain the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Now it tells you right there, in the last church age, they're wretched, miserable, naked, and blind. So how are they going to see what's being told them? They are not going to believe this which was written. They will say they believe it, and it's a fact that according to what their eyes receive and their minds receive, they say, yes, that is so, but it does not apply to us. That's not us. That's down the road. That's after. We're out of here and millions are going to go, and don't you forget it. That's what they tell us, and they're liars. How in the world can you believe that 2 and 2 make 4, and 1 million and 2 million, 3 make 3 million, and you equate 4 to 3 million? How do you equate 8 people to 5 billion people? 8 people made the ark, which is a type of the rapture. Believe me, it is on this very grounds that those that went up came right back and took the earth over in a renewed condition. Hey, keep your types. If any man hear, let him hear, and he that leadeth into captivity. Now this, if any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. That's exactly what it says in every single church age. So what church age is supposed to have the ear to hear? The seventh church age. Because that's the wind up. So. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, spake like a dragon. Ecclesiastical and political. Or military. Same thing. Politics is military. And he exercised the power of the first beast before them, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now notice, every time he goes to the deadly wound. The deadly wound. It means somewhere it ceased to exist but came back in spirit. And in the spirit he came back in another form. Because even Jesus came back in spirit in another form. Now don't you ever forget it. And then he took another form, which is the body of Christ. Are you listening? I'm saying some tough things and I could take hours on them. But you know by now what I'm saying. God does everything in threes. He came in a human body born unto Mary. Number two, he came, went away and came back in another form. And he came back the second time, and he now has another body. Body right here. The same one that was in the pillar of fire. Now, you can do what you want about it. I just told you the Bible, and the Bible is always true. So something died and came back in another form, being the same thing. And he always talks about one of the heads only. Doesn't talk about the rest of the heads. He talks about this head here. So it's significant that you're looking at something that actually came down through history and actually reappears. We'll find in Daniel what it is. There's nothing to it, really. And he doeth great wonders and maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those mirrors which had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. He's come back to life. You see? And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and their foreheads. Now it tells you he's got an image here. So what is the image? If the image of God is Jesus Christ, this is the image of the other fellow, and this is the essentiality of Satan, and therefore he has a many-membered body who will make everybody do exactly what he wants it done, just the same as Jesus has a many-membered body, and God's will and power and understanding comes through that body. Twins. As the life of Christ came back on the bride, so does this life of this one come back. Who came back? Well, you're going to find it was the fourth empire, which was Rome. Because there's only four. So don't make up your mind there's a fifth. That would conveniently bring in communism. Now the commies are dead shot. They shot themselves not in the foot, but in the head. Yeah. Okay. Now it says here, he caused them both great and small, rich and poor, to receive a mark on the right hand of the forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. All right, there's his number. The next thing is, what is his name? The next thing, what is his understanding? You can qualify in all those points. And somebody said, well, I don't qualify here. What if you qualify over there? Which means you're disqualified. Three ways of qualification. Meet any one of them, what's the difference? See where the churches are going? They're trapped. Revelation chapter 17, verses 12 to 18. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These that have one mind shall give their power strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. They are with him are called chosen and faithful. And he said to me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So this beast comes up from the people. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, he shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And the brother Branham said, communism is nothing, but it will turn and burn the flesh of the harlot, and there's a bomb for Rome, and there's a bomb for America. And everybody feels just great. All right. Let's put it together, if we can. Let us go to the book of Matthew. And we go to the fourth chapter, and we read 8 and to 10. Again the devil taketh him up an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now the exceeding high mountain is not named. And there is no exceeding high mountain in Israel. So this cannot be simply a literal journey. This has to be, this must be a journey into space, time. And why? Because he shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and you can't do that standing on any mount of Israel, especially 2,000 years ago, and see New York. Because it wasn't there. And you can't see Hollywood, which is on hills, because the city wasn't there. You could see Rome. So he's not just talking of a high, high hill. Mountains refer to power. The same as beasts. So therefore, Jesus saw the grandeur and peak of civilization and invention and industry that started in the garden, or just outside the garden, under Cain. And he saw that Vatikain would rule it all. Now where is Vatikain? The house of Cain. And he saw the whole world and all the kingdoms, 20th century, and the glory of them. And he said, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. What are you looking at? You are looking at the union of religion and politics. Because politics is army. Don't ever think for 1 minute the army moves without politics. You say, well, just a minute, there's an army moved in and threw out the politician, then it took right over in politics. Why do you think they moved in except for politics? So we're seeing religion and government. Come together. And United States is that lamb with the two horns, ecclesiastical and political, that begin talking, not like a lamb anymore, but begin talking like a lion, rattling its saber. And even today, Dave has a little article put out there on the board. Even the Catholic Church is upset with the government because the government has passed laws that recognize the homosexual and is now telling the Catholic Church, you will have homosexual priests and you will do what we say, and the Catholic Church will rise up and take over the government. It will. Religion will rule. You're going to see it. They have to come together as they did back under Constantine. Isaiah 14, 12 to 14, which is followed by Ezekiel 28. You just double the number of the chapter. Verse 12. How art thou fallen heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which is weak in the nations? There you are, the son of the morning. Is almost literally the same title as Jesus. The day star and the sun arise. The sun of righteousness rising. The twin. Thou which did weaken the nations. I thought he strengthened the nations. No, he destroyed them. Who's going to fight against God? Who's got a better plan than God? Who's got a better creation than God? Who's got anything better than God? Notice what he said. I'll ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. Who are the stars of God that fought in their order? The bride. True children of God. I will exalt myself above the children of God. I will put myself above the zodiac. I will interpret the zodiac to the people. The Bible in stars. I will interpret the Bible in stone to the people. I will interpret the Bible in writing to the people. I will mastermind the whole thing. I don't care if God did it. I'll sit upon the mount of the congregation. That's where the devil took Jesus and said, hey, you can have this, take a shortcut. The sides of the north, I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. In fact, that is an understatement. He said, I'm going to be better than the Most High. And Cain said, I'm better than Abel. And he got there first. And he found he wasn't tolerated. So he said, I'll get rid of my brother. Now you see, I am first. What are you going to do about it? Satan gets rid of the bride. What's anybody do about it? Finish. So God takes the bride out. 12 to 19 of Ezekiel 28. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, Thou seedest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, the king of Tyrus wasn't there. What you've got now is once more the picture of the political, the government, and the church. Ecclesiastical and government. And you notice in here he's got a workmanship, which signifies he's a high priest. He's his own high priest. He's made his own way. He's made his own sacrifices. He's got his own word. Everything is perverted from the original. And notice thou was perfect in thy ways from the day you were created till iniquity is found in you, until you began to do something wrong with what was given to you. You begin to do what was given to you according not to the pattern of the word within the framework of the word, but your own ideas. And listen to me, I don't want to scold anybody. I know you get miffed at me. You're miffed at each other. But this is no church for opinions. Don't introduce opinions and off-the-wall things in your home or in your meetings. You're wrong. Now, you're going to get mad at me. And you say, Brother Bale, I know I was led of God. When you cannot be led of God outside the Word of God. If you've done anything or said a thing contrary to the Word of God, that is Satan. You say, but Brother Bale, I looked all of you in the eyes this morning and warned you. Do you think I'm kidding? I said this morning I'm expendable. Let me just tell you the truth. For the first time, my throat is really bothering me, so I might not be able to swallow. And I hope to God I even die in that condition, if that's necessary. And I'm not trying to scare you, make you feel sorry. Keep your sorry for yourself. You're going to need it. I don't know where I stand. I don't know about where you stand. That's an individual matter. But I hear you talk at times. Now, if you want to leave, it's your business. If I leave, it's my business. But let me tell you something. I am telling you what the trail of the serpent is and Satan's Eden. Whether you want it or not, you're going to get the truth here. It seems you want the truth. Well, you wouldn't stick with me this long. But I'm telling you here, thou wast perfect in thy ways. In other words, the church can come to one word and it makes the difference. Right, one word off, your name is out. Right. Do you think I feel good preaching this way when I know people absolutely deny a fivefold ministry? And you say, where did Brother Branham say it? Where does the Word of God deny it? Tell me your interpretation of Ephesians number 4 where Brother Branham said it. Said, but now you see, there we go right back to being nice people. Why'd you just admit you're Antichrist? Why don't I? Why don't we? Come on. We're judged this morning, brother, sister. Don't look at me confused. I'm telling you the truth. I'm judge. You're judge. We're standing before the judge. This is white throne where neither root nor branch is left. Not 1,000 years down the road. When Christ comes back with his bride, which could be in the next 6 years or 4 years or 5 years. Who are you kidding? God help me not to kid myself or ever kid you. Because that's all right. Listen. How do you understand? Son of man, son of perdition, son of the morning, perfect in beauty, you sealed up the sum of wisdom, you were right on track, and you exalted yourself to the place where you said, hey, I've got this. Now I'm going to go on and do something about it. If you look at the life of William Branham, you look at the life of the Apostle Paul and these great men of God, you will find that whatever God gave them, it was a liability. And Moses blew it by what he did with his. He struck the rock the second time. Elisha blew it. Paul didn't blow it. That tough, crusty old geezer. After the Holy Ghost says, "Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, to the work I call them," Barnabas went right down and fell into the trap of the Judaizers. And Paul said, "Out." Well, he said, "I can't take you on my trips anymore. But Brother Paul, the Holy Ghost called me." Ah, yes. Who do you think called Satan to lead in the worship? Makes you think, doesn't it? Makes you think. You ever hear the sentence in the Bible that says, "God shall send them strong delusion"? Well, you know, Satan, the old deceiver, he sent this strong delusion. I got news for you. It wasn't Satan sent, it was God sent it. That's tough. I didn't write the Bible. I'm not even here to explain it. "By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I cast thee out as profane out of the mountain of God." He said, this worship system gets so strong with its money, its armaments, and they can do what they want, and they do it. Where are we standing? Now then, we recall Revelation 13 with the beast in utter control of what is called the entire world system, geographical, political, economical, philosophical, philosophical or religious. So let's take a look at it. Now here is where we want to go. And here is where we will go and where the world is fast going and is already there now, not just in a figure but in the truth. So we read Thessalonians, the second book, and the second chapter, and we are reading the fourth verse. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God." And I don't care if it's Buddha, or Allah, or who do you call it, or what do you call it, or this, or that, or the other thing. Anything and everything that is involved in worship. He said, "Hold it right now there, Buster. I take precedence over you and anything you believe, and I supersede you. You are going to fall in line, period, and you ain't got nothing but what I tell you you got." I didn't write the book, I read it. And I know what it says. You know why? Because he called my attention to it. Because this has been one of the puzzling things. How can people actually worship Satan and think they're worshiping God? In some instances, there is nothing to it because it is simply a further step into degradation. But when you come to a certain segment and a certain section, it has gone from the low form of religion to the highest there is, which is Christianity. And they get duped because they're talking in tongues and prophesying and the sick are being healed. We'll talk about that. Much time we got in the first sign? Well, turn it over and we'll get with the next sign. All right. "So that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." God has already demonstrated to the world that he is God. Let me tell you about it. Brother Branham was in India. I don't know, Calcutta, I'm not sure. Who's got a good memory? Which was it, Calcutta? I don't know. Anyway, the Jains, the Shiites, and they are in the papers. And the Christians, also called. They all sat there. They were critical of Brother Branham. They came to disprove him. These men actually devil-possessed. Not by the devil in manner of erratic movements and speech, but in the mind. Son of the morning, wisdom, smart, philosophical. Brother Branham saw this one man who looked at the sun until his eyes were completely gone. The mayor knew him, the whole town knew him. And he said, listen, because God gave him a vision. Now he said, I'll tell you what, you come up here and pray in the name of your gods and let this man receive his sight. And whoever prays in the name of his God, the man receiving him sight, that name is the name of the true God. He is God. He said, oh my, he said, you're awful quiet. He said, you could sure argue a while ago. How come you're so quiet? Now, he wouldn't have said that except he had a vision. And you know what? When he prayed in the name of his God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man got his eyesight back. But what did it do? It didn't do anything except make the heathen believe that God was in the prophet, and if they could only touch him, they almost tore his clothes off of him. They had to get priests to get him out of there. Now, those priests knew it. What did they do about it? Now, what does your Bible say? Blind leaders of the blind, they all fall in the ditch. And it says that this beast rose out of the sea, which Satan already told Jesus, I own it. So it came out of the people, the serpent seed, who are religious. Because Cain was religious, but he wasn't spiritual. Well, he's spiritual insofar as a spiritual matter he was dealing in, but he himself was not a spiritual being like his brother was, who died. So all religions had their opportunity, even as when Brother Branham was in Africa. When the Mohammedans and the heathen there also saw the works of God. And in Revelation 17 and 18, we see the full source of its power, where this is located. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. The church has a headquarters for her head man. The Bible says so. It's attributed to one city. Now, before we go to the city, which is simply the seat of the dictator or king or high priest or the man claiming to be God, God incarnated in him, we got to go to Daniel, the second chapter, verses 31 to 45. Now, we've been in this before, but I feel I'm to read this to you, and we're going to read it because I feel led to do it. It gives us the picture of the complete totality of what we are looking at, and there is nothing that's going to stop it because it cannot be stopped. And the reason is because the one, the great stone made without hands has already started to descend. And nobody knows it but the bride. See? 31. Then thou, the old king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form was terrible. The image's head was of gold, his breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs and feet of part of iron, part of clay. You saw till the stone was cut without hands, which smote the image on his feet that were of iron and clay, and broke into pieces. Then was the iron and clay and the brass and silver and gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. What does that tell you? It tells you what was in the head and in the chest and in the belly all came down to the feet. So therefore, it is a living system of some sort. And since it was personified by a man, Nebuchadnezzar, it is still personified by a man. It is still something that somebody is doing. And it started with Cain, who was a man. And it continued, exposed itself in Babylon and Tyre, Persia and Greece and so on right down the road. Then he said the wind came and carried away, and there was no place left for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. In other words, there is going to be not what you might call a superimposition of Christ in this world. It never will be. The Roman Catholic Church and all churches are liars that say that. There's going to be a destruction, an annihilation then will the kingdom of God be upon earth in its permanent position, which again is a city upon a mountain, and city and builder and maker is God, and it houses God and the Lamb and the Bride. Then this is a dream in the interpretation. Thou, O King, art a King of kings. The God of heaven has given thee a kingdom, power, glory, and strength. And whatever, and wherever children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven have given unto thy hand, and made thee ruler over them all. That's right. At that particular time, there's no one could stop him. And if he'd had fleets and armies, he would have just taken the whole world over. After these shall rise another kingdom in fear to you. And that's true. There never was a kingdom like Babylon. And a third kingdom. And a fourth kingdom. Inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces, subdues all things, so iron breaks in pieces, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom should be divided. And that's what it was, into the two legs of Rome. It had two legs. East and west. But there shall be in a strength of iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and the toes and feet part of iron and part of clay, so the kings be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, there shall mingle itself the seed of men, and they shall not cleave one another. And it tells you right there that this kingdom, the fourth kingdom, is going to go down right to the end. In the days of these kings shall the Son of God set up a kingdom. It tells you right there, in the days of the last king, God is going to have a kingdom which shall not be destroyed. And the kingdom will not left to other people. It's going to be annihilated. It'll break in peace and consume all these kingdoms. And this king will stand forever. For as much as thou saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, and silver, and gold, the great God has made known to the king which shall come to pass hereafter. In other words, pass on down. Pass hereafter means pass on down. You understand what it says? Pass on down. Then it's no more. It's gone. Finished. The dream is certain, and the interpretation is absolutely certain. Now, this is identical with further elaborations in Daniel 7, 1 to 28. Now, here you find that Daniel has a dream. And his dream is, there are four beasts come up out of the sea. Which is, in the entire history of the universe, from the time of Daniel to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the millennium, there are four kingdoms. Just what Nebuchadnezzar saw. And the four, and they come up out of the people. The people formed them, certainly. The first was a lion, verse 4, eagle's wings. I beheld till his wings were, till it was plucked up. And it made to stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. Now it tells you right there what you're looking at. You're looking at a beast again. And you're looking at the combination with the man. You're seeing a serpent seed kingdom here. Another beast like a bear. And so on. And you have the sixth, number six, a leopard. And then number seven, I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth, it devoured and break in pieces, stamped the residue, and diverse from all the beasts before it. And it had 10 horns. And I considered the 10 horns, and a little horn came up and so on. And this went on till the Ancient of Days came, and he sat and... It was all over. And you'll notice that this is a little different in this respect. It comes back at the end of the millennium. And the whole thing is shot. And it's one kingdom coming down to the final kingdom, which is four. There are only four kingdoms. Now, there are four kingdoms. Let me see. Daniel 3, 1 to 7. Right after the vision God gave Nebuchadnezzar, and after the complete revelation, the dream and the revelation, he sets up a statue, an image of gold, 60 cubits. That's 60 cubits. And the breadth, 6 cubits. In the plain of Dura, and he commanded that there be a worship, and he set it up according to his own system. In other words, government now was addressing the worship of the people and demanding it, whether the people wanted it or not. So therefore, there was a religious factor in this guy named Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Brother Branham said this image was the image of a holy man. Was it Daniel? It could well have been Daniel. But Daniel thoroughly misunderstood. Something is wrong. But this man is a religious man. Satan is a religious person. This man is a head. Satan was a head. This man has an empire. Satan has an empire. And you will see the church and state are together. And you will see this all the way down the line. This is shown to us in Ezekiel, which we read already. We'll go back to Ezekiel 28 and 12. And notice, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus and say, thus saith the Lord God. What is he doing? He is identifying that time with the city and the king. Right? Satan is a person. He has a city. He is a king. He has a religion. Now, let's go and all the way to John, the book of John, chapter 19. And we're going to look at something here. And in verse 15, let me read it to you. And they cried out, away with him, away with Jesus, crucify him. And Pilate says, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Or you say, that was a political move. You've got to be sick. Haven't you read History of the Babylon? Haven't you read the Church Ages? Where Caesar took upon himself the title of Maximus Pontifex. He was the high priest of the Babylonian religion. And in recognizing Caesar, they recognized the church and state coming together. They declared themselves a part of Satan's kingdom. Just as Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. And you join a church and an organization, it shows who you belong to. If your heart is there, it shows where your heart is. I'm going to stop right here and read something to you I wrote down. I didn't know I was going to put it in, but I'm going to got it here. It is all too evident throughout Judo-Christian history, and even going back to the first sacrifice of worship known to be offered to God, that the truth never did combine with error, but error did unite and combine with the truth. God wouldn't allow it. It just stood right there and the error came along. It was the beast that united with Eve, not Eve with the beast, and brought forth the serpent seed. Adam's seed did not unite with the other seed, even though it came to one lump of clay in mankind by sons of God, copulating with daughters of men. All flesh may be corrupted, but the seed never was. You take a horse seed and a mule seed, bring forth a jackass, whatever brings forth, mule. Seed, perfect seed. It's a junk that came forth. Now take this to Rome in Christianity. When it went to Rome, what happened? Idolatry bred itself into Christianity. Paganism united and overtook truth. And when it did, it was no longer the truth but paganism. Evangelism of other countries and cultures of the Jews only corrupted Israel. That's why God said, you kill every single one, destroy. Christianity, the same until 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3, had gone and corrupted itself. Something came in there. Until it says in Revelation 19 and 2, the whole thing has been corrupted. Today it is Revelation 19 and 2, and we are required to a full return of 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10, which is the gospel of Paul, delivered by the pillar of fire. So therefore somebody had better get the pillar of fire back to let us know what Paul really said. Because the Bible said, Paul himself said, it's already shot. You don't have my true gospel. You don't have a true spirit. You've got a false Jesus that's right there sitting amongst you. But notice what I'm trying to tell you. Everywhere where Christianity is gone, there is something sitting there that positively will breed into it unless God stops it. Now what I'm trying to tell you is this. What are you still retaining from your organizations and your denominations and your own understanding? That's what I try to get across to you day after day. And you're still killing it. You don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. And I don't want to yell at you, but I'm through with it. I hope by the grace of God never tell you again. Never bother with you again if this is the way you're going to be. You don't understand when you talk this word and all. It is so easy for you to bring in what you once had. And some of you still excuse yourself for what happened in the past. If you can't take credit, you can't stand with this word, I'll tell you right now, you have blown it. As much as I love you and done some for probably you more than I've done for my own family, you're blowing it. You're picky, picky, picky. You better say what the prophet said. I have not speculated one thing this morning except I tell you and I watch it. By the grace of God, I won't do it. You have all the faith you want in what you got, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I still have faith in the pillar of fire and the flame of fire. You do what you want. I'm going to stand with the prophet of Almighty God. You come and tell me, Brother Bale, I haven't changed. I still believe that was God doing so-and-so, and I look at you and say, it's against the word of God. You're lying now as you lied then. Is it hard preaching? You think it doesn't hurt to say these things? You think I'm mad and going to defend myself? Horse feathers, I could be dead by morning. And you know what? I'm judged by this word. And if it's an idle word, I'm trying to back my word against the prophet. Because of some denominational spirit or something in my own nature I had years and years ago, that will not cut with God. I'm judged. That's the truth. I've said it and I'll say it again. If everybody running around all the churches say they believe like I do on the presence of Almighty God, I want to stand on this pulpit and say what I said this morning about the white throne. They don't even know the judge is here. Who is that? The judge. Who proved it? William Branham in Hebrews 4 and 12. Took every spirit under his control. William Branham. By the power of Almighty God. And you couldn't hide if you tried. You couldn't lie if you tried. You're exposed 100%. If you'd have sat with me that morning when I was kidding Brother Branham, when he looked a hole in me, just stood there and looked. There wasn't one thing he didn't know. That he had to know. But I learned one thing. You don't kid with a gift. I don't think I learned it too well. But I learned something about it. I want you to know this, brother, sister. We are not kidding ourselves. It said right here, we have no king but Caesar. See, you have to let out what's in you. You can tell the times I get angry and resentful up here. I don't have to kid you. I may cover up and say, well, I'm not mad at you. And I really am not mad, but I'm resentful. You say, well, that's a form of anger. Well, ask the next question. Why am I resentful? Is it for myself? Well, yes and no. It's kind of like when you have a family, you get tired because the kids don't know, they won't learn to eat their porridge with a spoon. They want to use a fork or a knife. But listen, we are not fooling in this hour. If we don't make it. And Brother Branham said, don't miss it. And I thought, oh God, the other night, what is he trying to tell? Is he trying to tell a horse don't fly when a horse can't fly? You know? Don't turn into cucumber when that's impossible. He was warning the people about something where there was an inherent danger, even though the elect are going to make it through. There is evidently something that we better be very careful about. Now they said here, we have no king but Caesar, and they knew that Caesar was the Pontiff Maximus. He was the head of the Babylonian religion. They knew that state and religion was combined, and therefore Caesar could do anything he wanted to people's conscience. To their bodies, he had control. And they said, "This is our king." They paid for it. I say the same thing this morning. What's in my heart and yours is right here in the presence of the one that was picture was taken there and the picture over here. I'm not saying that's Jesus Christ. That's a picture. I'm not saying that's the pillar of fire. I'm saying that's a picture. But I refer to those things as the reality that is there and was caught by scientific materiality and proves that it is there because it was there. May be hard on you. I don't want to be, but I am. Now listen. Notice these four kingdoms which go down in history as led by three men. But the fourth is a continued kingdom with a succession of unnamed rulers. It doesn't tell you who they are. And it doesn't tell you the complete breakup. And here, unless God was directed by Brother Branham, God directed Brother Branham so he could tell us, there isn't anybody would know. Now, maybe there's a smart historian that can take the word and the history and point them out. But the man that thought he could do is a fellow named Armstrong. And soon he's going to have the finest theological center underwater at the West Coast. Because he was as phony as a $3 bill, he missed it. A man who could satisfy his own ways, twist the word of God, it's just like a Pentecostal. And there's no truth in it. Now, we note that first. And we do note the kingdom number four is worldwide and is taken over by the stone carved without hands, which is Messiah. That's the first thing we note. Now, number two, we note the first three kingdoms and kings are symbolized by three lions, three animals, a lion, a bear, and a leopard. But the fourth in Daniel 7 is not described. Its description was in Revelation 13:1-3 because that's it. And what is it? It's all three poured into one. What does that tell you? All the religions of the world and all the governments are poured into one. And it now becomes a religious world empire. See? I ask you a question. Who's going to stop these hajjids? What do you call them? Hajjids? These Muslims have? Holy wars? Who's going to stop it? There's only one going to stop it. That's the beast. He's going to crack heads and kick shins. And they won't worry about what price they can charge for their oil. He'll tell them. And he won't be stupid like these jackass Americans. And the rest of the world. One barrel of oil for one barrel of wheat. Take it or starve. Because that's what he'll tell them. You understand what I'm saying? I read you the Bible. Can't buy or sell. Very religious. Very fair. Treat me right. Worship me, make me God, I'll take care of you. Its description is here's Revelation 3:1-3, which is all three kingdoms poured into one. Now listen, all three beasts of the first three seals were poured into the fourth seal, which was the brindle horse, white, red, black, poured into one, riding to eternity. What we're looking at is the spirit of Antichrist coming now through the church ages as it came from the beginning in Babylon where God began to tell Daniel, this is the windup. This is the windup. Now, we haven't got time to go into Daniel 70th week. Brother Branham did it. We may read it sometime and go into it. Now, the fourth kingdom that is wounded and rises again and survives but it survives under a succession of rulers. And is seen in Revelation chapter 17, 1 to 18, which is the harlot church system. Now watch. On one side, you're watching the spiritual, which is the church. On the other side, you're watching the political, which is the world kingdom. But you've got to bring them together. They are not separated. America says we've separated them. America has lied. Our Constitution is dead, rotten, skunk, and dead and finished. It stinks. We don't have one anymore. They took it away from us. And the big joke is the Catholics did it. And now they have to pay a price. They got to all get together finally and say, government, you've gone too far. We backed you. Now we're going to cut your innards out. If you think I'm lying, let's get the picture straight. Under Bobby Kennedy, the great hero on the white horse, charging in his campaigns, and he went to the colleges, he went to the teachers, and he said, these are communists. And he lowered the boom. Now he said, we're going to go, he said, to the churches. And Bishop Oxnam rose up, the great Methodist hypocrite. He rose up and he said, okay, Kennedy, baby, let me tell you, the minute you open the church door, we open all the floods of our political power and our spiritual power against Bobby Kennedy and John Kennedy, and you're finished. There wasn't one more word uttered. Come on, read your history. You don't know what I do. Who's running things? Yep. Catholic Church has come full circle. It's talking in tongues again. Notice in verse 8 of Revelation 17, the beast that thou sawest and is not shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was not, beast that was and is not and yet is. He tells you there's a succession. It disappears. It comes back. It moves and it moves until one day it moves right into position. This has been going on for all of these centuries. All right? The 11th verse. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. It still doesn't tell you anything except it's an ongoing condition. And Brother Branham described it. It began taking its form after religion got its boost from politics, which was Constantine. Then they began electing headmen until finally, down the road, what was it, the 8th century or so, they got a pope. And the pope could do anything he wanted because he was the vicar of Christ. And you notice what? The divine right of kings now goes to the pope. The kings do not have any divine right. It is the pope that's got the divine right. Until the poor Catholics, they don't believe that Mary's gone up there. Ask the theologians. Well, see, we got to believe it because Pope Pius told us. Where did he get the information? Out of his bald, stupid head? No, the devil told him. Let's face it. Who put the pope in there? Don't look at me as though I'm hitting anybody too hard. If you believe God put me here, which he might not have, you better believe the devil put somebody else someplace. That he sure was in the right place. All right, listen. Daniel 2. Daniel 2, 40 to 45. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. In other words, it'll use politics where it can. If it can't use brute force, it'll use brute force where politics don't work. How do we know? Because that's exactly right. Khrushchev and Mr. Eisenhower on the podium of the United Nations, one means iron, the other means clay. They certainly did not mix. And they stood there threatening each other. And you found out that clay hasn't got much to it. Russia, it's just what Brother Branham said, it's all puff and huff. What if they did win a war? Their own people would destroy the leaders because it's time the leaders were gone. They've led them into nothingness and shows there's still nothing out there. A Superman has to come on the scene. I don't care what anybody says. As the church prayed for a prophet and turned him down when he came, the people are looking to the great man, and they'll take him when he comes, because Jesus said, I came in my Father's name, and you turned me down. They'll want to come in his own name, and you're going to take him lock, stock, and barrel. As the toes and feet are part of iron and clay, the king be partly strong and partly broken. It's got to be politics and religion with certain amount of, you know, gunpowder. There, where thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, the mean themselves the seeds of men, but they shall not cleave one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And it tells you right there, even as there is separation by Almighty God from the one lump, it cannot hold together. There will be also the world system cannot hold together. It is going to come to nothing in the long run. Now, this brings us to page 6, where Brother Branham is talking. And he mentions in here, he says here, no, let no man deceive you, that for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, that the man of sin. And that man of sin is what? The man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And he right there, he makes the note that Judas, he's referring to Judas. Now, why is he referring to Judas? How many minutes? Okay. I was going to start there last today, wasn't I? I got just that far exactly. And I said, now I'll start. Well, there's one thing about, I may not finish, but you can say, well, there's one thing about Lee, he can sure start the ball rolling, but we can never get the guy to stop it. I'm sorry about that. I will apologize. I don't apologize for anything else I said, but I'll apologize for not getting further down the line, but there's no use trying to take 10 minutes when I've got to read to begin with. I've got to read one verse and three verses, then I've got to read 42 verses, then I've got to read 9 verses, and that's just the start. I've got 10 minutes shot right there, and you wouldn't even know what I was going to say about it. The son of perdition. We are going to talk about what you are looking for in this hour. We have seen where we've come. We have seen the nations. We have seen the military, the political. We have seen the whole thing come together. We have seen the fourth empire, what it was. It was Rome. And they are now back as one because the Berlin Wall is down. But that doesn't mean this is it. That simply means what you put your finger on according to history, that know the rest of it's coming in. Because everything else will come in. Otherwise, the devil lied when he showed Jesus everything and said, it's all yours. Take a shortcut. He didn't take a shortcut with the stones turning into bread by erosion, minerals, and then into the soil and bread. He said, take a shortcut here. He said, you didn't take a shortcut by making yourself well-known and hip around the world. They just take it. He said, you didn't do that. But he said, I'll tell you. You become my high priest. You become a mediator. Let me use you. And he said, the whole bundle's yours. And Jesus said, that means worship. He said, yeah, it means worship. He said, thou shalt worship only God. And he said, Buster, you're not God. You know what? The Pope may be the Pope to the Pope. And he may be the Pope to the Catholics, but he ain't the Pope to me. Amen. I have a prophet. His name is William Branham. I'm a heretic to the church. Man, if the chips are down, I hope they don't treat me too bad, just a bullet between the eyes or something. I've got to go anyway. And I don't like the way I'm going. Because I'm going just the way I don't want to go. Because they're cutting off the dog's tail an inch at a time. I don't like that. And I've been through this a couple times now. So I hope they're nice to me in this respect. But that doesn't mean I'm going to be nice to them. I'm hoping they're going to be nice to me. I want you to know that, and I want you to stand in the breach with me. Because that's where Brother Branham stood. And God took him off the scene in such a way as to make people wonder, hey, this couldn't have been the one. Oh, they never learned their lesson. The same people that look back and say, if I had been there in Christ's day, I would not have done so and so, are the very ones that would have done it. You know why? because they're liars and the truth isn't in them. Because if you can't recognize God today by what God said he would do, now this is the big thing. You don't recognize by God what the denomination say he would do, or by what you think he would do, or what you'd like to think he might do. You only recognize God by what God says he would do and how he would do it. Isn't that true? Now we know that's with the buttercup. We know it's with the daisy. Look at those pretty flowers. They run true to form. I'm going to ask you a question. Who is the boss behind the forms that they run true to? Now, see, I use bad English. I should have said to which they run true instead of run true to. Never leave a dangling preposition out there. But never mind that. I still ask the question. How come they're running true? Who does all of that? Now then, if he does all of that, how true is he that does it? Never changes. Well, I hate to let you go, but I've got to let you go. I can't work forever and you can't hold here forever. Getting warm in here, time for dinner and all. I love you. You might not believe it, but I do. If I didn't love you any more reason this year, nice people, you sit here and you listen. And this gives me a chance to tell exactly what I see. And I hope it does you some good. I'm hoping, I'm really planning on it, that somebody's roping this morning. Some hearts were helped. Something happened here to make you really see this business of Satan is right there to get his worship, and he's going to get it. Started right there in the garden. Outside the garden. Started right there. Right, listen, there isn't any place you can hide from Scripture, my brother, my sister. When it's revealed, let's rise and be dismayed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your goodness to us, and I want to ask your forgiveness, people's apology, where I've been too rough in certain areas, because, Lord, I realize that I'll blurt things out, and then I don't go back and apologize, and I can't apologize actually for some things said, but I can't apologize for how the things were said. They could be too vehement, they could be too pointed, which is really not the case, but it's an actual fact amongst us, Lord, because I myself include myself in all these things, knowing the terrible battle that I have had with the doctrine of the devil. The doctrine of the devil. It was the devil's doctrine, Lord, that said the saint, the bride, goes through the tribulation. It was an actual deletion by the devil who kept me from seeing and understanding that there was a church and a bride. Lord, I've been guilty of all these things, and I could be guilty of some right today. And if I'm going to say anything at all, Lord, I'm not going to worry about the purging of my sins that are under the blood and future sins that are also covered by the blood, which makes it so you do not see me in what I do, per se. But, Lord, what is in my heart is stronger in heaven than my words spoken on earth, which would certainly mean what doctrine, what opinion, how do I hold your truth, Lord? That's the thing that I'm really worried about, Father. I want to be absolutely consistent with the Word as to the revelation and my spiritual understanding, both in the spirit, the mind, and the soul. And then, Lord, whatever commensurate actions would come forth, which I am desperately interested in also, but knowing if the first is there, the second absolutely can be there. But if the first isn't there, what would be the use if the second was there, looking just like? We think the Word tells us, and everybody else admonishes it. So, Father, I want to be like Abel, who comes behind all of this great fanfare and this first great offering, and come to the true and divine revelation, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, offering the blood, and identified thoroughly with the word of revelation of the hour. Help everyone in this church to be in the same position and mind, O God, because we know that's what's going to count. It's not my trying to get me there and the people trying to get there with me, Lord, but what I'm trying to exceptionally put forward, especially put forward on the grounds of a sometimes over-demonstrative emphasis, Lord. But as Father God, it's truth within the inner man. And it can only come, I know, by word which has been revealed, word which is spoken, word which is brought to us. We ask you to feed our souls and make the things clear, Father. I believe that you've done it. And we're in, Lord, we are not yet truly identified by understanding with it, we will be happy to know at least that we believe it, and as an unfolding might come, we'll appreciate it and go all the more with you. Now, Father, heal the sick amongst us, we pray. Bless, guide, and direct, Lord. As the prophet often said, may there not be one feeble one amongst us. May that spirit of Christ become sweeter and sweeter as we realize, Lord, that all we got to do is to confess and repent, Lord. That's all we got to do. Begin changing our minds and then watching the spirit of God flow through the word of the living God. Father, help us this morning. All these mercies we ask in your name and for your glory, Lord, because that's what really counts. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.